welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Are you ready? We're supposed to get to Nehemiah 4 today. We've been waiting since May 2009. But you see, now we're at the right time. Hallelujah. It's good to have you back. Welcome back. Not quite as warm as Spain, but just look at that coastline. Come on now. Hallelujah. It's good to have you with us. Anyway, we're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 3 first. Oh. Hallelujah. Just want to see you something that God is doing here that was happening, or that is in these gates. In between the fountain gate, which is the out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, it's the flow of the Holy Spirit. In between the fountain gate and the water gate, and the water is the washing of the word, the cleansing of the word, the renewing through the word. In between the spirit and the word is this little passage, this little phrase in verse 16, just talking about what's there. And they're building the wall, and it says they made repairs up to a point opposite the tombs of David, as far as the artificial pool and the house of heroes. Amen. I like that title. Amen. I think it was Tony pointed it out to me last week. And that's what God is doing. He's building a house of heroes. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a hero. Now, this, you'll be pleased to know, it doesn't mean you've got to wear red underpants on the outside of your trousers. Even though many of you are superheroes, in fact, you're all superheroes because you walk in the supernatural. But the underpant wearing is completely optional, Chris. I just knew it would be a temptation for you, so I'm just helping it now. Hallelujah. Yes, this is the house of heroes, and God is building the house of heroes. And we've come to a time where we need to physically take hold of a building that will be known as a place where heroes gather. Amen. Actually, we're not going to call it the House of Heroes. I think we'll probably call our new building the Summit. Why we call it the Summit? Because God always took his people up to the mountaintop to meet with them. Amen. And this is a place to meet with God, a place to hear from God, a place to encounter God. So we'll meet at the Summit. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I know it's Valentine's Day, but I'm afraid I just don't have a lovely, dovely, hushy-bushy, sweetie, red-hearty type message for you. Sorry. I'm afraid this morning it's about the House of Heroes. Yes. Amen. And I'll tell you one thing about heroes. They do love one another. Yes. And they learn to love one another. Yes. And they bear with one another. Yes. And they're patient with one another. And they forgive one another. And they love one another. Oh. Hallelujah. That's it. That's the love bit done. Right. Love is the foundation of everything, because God is love. Everything we talk about this morning, the foundation of it is love, but real love. Love that says, I will pay the cost. Love that says, I will go the extra mile. Not just that love that says, I've got gushy, mushy feelings about you. Hallelujah. Although the gushy, mushy feelings are fun. Most of the time. Except when the gushy, mushy feelings are upset, and then they're not so much fun. Such as you husbands that forgot to get your wife a card. Yes, there's no condemnation in the House of Heroes, except for those husbands who didn't get there. And you will suffer, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. You didn't get a card either? Try it. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, the House of Heroes. So that would therefore follow, quite logically, that we're going to talk... That's the Nehemiah 3 bit done. The House of Heroes, that's it. So, we're going to go on to the next bit. Yeah, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. Got ya. We might get to Nehemiah 4, you never know. It could be on the schedule. All right. This is a famous passage. Everybody who knows their Bible tends to know this word, but let's just have a look at it this morning because it's relevant for us. Amen? God is accelerating things very, very quickly. I know we had that prophetic word, but it's actually happening. Okay? I don't know if you've got any stories of what God's doing, and he's doing it quickly, but things are accelerating. And this is why the House of Heroes has got to have their armor on, they've got to have their sword ready, they've got to be ready to go, because it's time for things to happen. This is the time you've prayed for. This is the time when you used to seek God, even some of you 20 years ago, and say, Lord, I need to see you move. I need to see a revival in this nation. This is it. It's happening, and that means it's going to be hard work. In Haggai, Haggai is rousing the troops to rebuild the temple, and which comes before Nehemiah, and he says, be bold, be strong, and work. Work hard. We're going to have to work hard. Our worship team, bless them, have spent Friday night and all day Saturday up at Lampaloo just learning new songs, writing new songs, going through new songs. They've got to work hard. Then they're here Sunday morning doing this as well. So they've spent their entire weekend almost, apart from this afternoon, unless they've got friends around this afternoon from the church, being the church. What better weekend can you get than that? Come on, let's get our mindsets right. I want to spend a weekend with friends. What fun. I can do it writing songs and playing music. That's what they've been doing. I know there can be a sacrifice in terms of family, but then most of the time the whole family are involved anyway. At least Steve and Ben were together. Nikki was left out in the cold, but she had a good day. That's good. Hallelujah. It's great. Why would we want to do anything else than be together? That is the house of heroes. You know, this open house message that God gave us right back in September. Well, in fact, I brought it, I think, even before the September, even before the church was birthed, that it was essential that our homes were open, you know, to one another, praying together in our homes, sharing communion together in our homes, studying the word together in our homes, having parties together in our homes, having Burns nights together in our homes, having whatever. That came out because I looked at them and we celebrated Burns Night with them. Good haggis, though. If you want good haggis, see Shona. She knows the place. Actually, it's Morrison's now, isn't it? Hallelujah. I think that's probably going a little bit off the topic, though. It's acceleration time. All right, let me just give you an example of how God is accelerating by just... it's not only days of acceleration, but they are the days of favor. But because it's accelerating, the favor's accelerating. Okay? So some of you heard this, some of these things because I mentioned them on Thursday night. But on Monday, we went with our friends and we went for a nice breakfast at Solid Rock. Now there's favor. Hallelujah. They're our best breakfasts in town. And we had a great breakfast there. And I said to our friends, Paul and Joe, well, do you want to see this building that we're thinking about, that we're considering, that we believe God has got for us? And they said, yeah. So we walked up the road and we were standing there looking at the building. And of course, going through my mind is this really the building you've got for us, Lord? And while I'm standing there, this man comes up to me and says, would you like the keys to the building? And I was a little sort of surprised because it's not what normally happens. And he says, yeah, I'm the caretaker. And I turned out he'd recognized me from when we'd had an official visit. And he says, yeah, I'll go and get them for you if you like. And a couple of minutes later, he came back with a torch and some keys. And I found myself standing outside the building with the keys to the building. Okay? Now, that seemed fairly significant to me. Hallelujah. So that was Monday. That was great. We looked around the building. We prayed in the building. Tuesday, I went to a street angels meeting. And I'm there in the street angels meeting. And Tony Quinn, who's our chief inspector in Scarborough, he suddenly starts to tell this story of how he'd had a discussion with a vicar. Because this vicar was telling him that the problem with the church was it was no longer relevant to the world. It had no relevance in this century. And so Tony Quinn said, so I put him right. He said, the church is relevant. He said, I told him all about Kingdom Faith Church and street angels. He said to me, if they want to know what about being relevant is, they need to have a look at Kingdom Faith. Whoa. I said, I put him right. The church is relevant to the 21st century. Hallelujah. So praise God for favour. And not only that, but of course, there's a couple of guys from the council and others are in this meeting as well. And the council lady, Sandra, her name is, and she's sort of sitting there going, yeah, that's right, church is relevant. And I'm thinking, yeah, come on. Hallelujah. We're blessed. Yes. But the fact is, of course, we are relevant. This is the answer. It's just been wrapped up in these peculiar disguises that people have managed to put around the church. And people are like, I don't want that. And actually, a lot of the time, I don't want that either. You know, I want what Jesus is. I want to know what Jesus meant by church. And I think Jesus meant by church, a body who are rising up together, the house of heroes, where everybody's valued and nobody is sort of, you know, like you're looking at me. right? But the most important parts of my body are the bits you can't see. You know, the heart's pretty important, the brain's pretty important, but you can't even see that bit. You can just see the outworking of the rest of it. And sometimes, you know, we pray so much value on the bits we see. But I tell you, it's in this day, it's the unseen that's going to make the difference in revival. All right, it's in the secret place, when you're meeting with God in the secret place, that revival is birthed. Then we need to be praying in our homes, on our own, together, you know, whatever, any opportunity we get. This is a time to be praying, because I tell you, war has been declared. All right, and the enemy's not very happy with us at the moment, because we've dared to put our head up against the parapet. And maybe some of them will get our heads shot off. Never mind, we'll put another one on. I'd be more handsome the next time round. Hallelujah. Anyway, that was Tuesday. We also got great favour, just the favour being spoken over street angels. And I don't want to go into too much detail at the moment, because it's probably not for something to be recorded. But we got favour with the whole concept of youth angels, and I haven't even seen Phil about that, because it's all happening so quickly. And we also got a favour for, say, putting on a big event in town, and that could happen, where we bring the council and all the people they know, and the police and all the people they know, and the Church of Scarborough and all the people they know, all together for one big celebration evening. Well, it's got to come off, so I've given you that little bit, so get praying into it, because, I mean, what? We won't even have to do it. The council's going to sort of organise it. So that we can raise money for street angels, but bring in all the top people in town she wants to bring in and charge them for a ticket to raise money and have bands and entertainment and take over the spa. There I have said it. Never mind. Sorry, Sandra. Anyway. So that was Tuesday. Wednesday, I can't tell you much about, because it involves individuals, but I just had such favour in the homes of people in Scarborough, where you wouldn't have naturally expected it. That's all I can say, really, publicly. It was just awesome. Okay. Then on Thursday, one of the highlights of Thursday for me was God encounter. I don't know about you, but God said, I'm going to release this favour. And we had that awesome time. And people, I mean, a lot of you looked a bit drunk, if you ask me. You certainly looked whacked out as the Holy Spirit came upon us and just deposited favour. He said to me, Paul, if you give away your favour, I'll keep multiplying it to you. Amen. So I'll keep giving it away. You want favour? You want favour? Have favour. Receive favour right now in Jesus' name. And favour just is in everything, you know? It's in stupid things like finding parking spaces to it not raining when you don't need it to be raining. It just happens. I was having a laugh with the Lord this morning, and I don't know if the people unloading the trailer got wet or not. You did. You didn't. I mean, since 2007, I think we've had one morning where it rained a bit. So they could look back at the weather records for Scarborough now since September 2007. And that time when we have to unload at 9:30 and bring the stuff into the library, it just hasn't rained. And you saw what the rain was like this morning if you were up and it was... And anyway, I left to come a little bit later this morning, and I left the house and it wasn't raining. I thought, oh great, I thought it was pouring rain. I got in the car, and the rain went, poof. That's odd. I drove into town, and when I parked the car, the rain stopped, and I got out and walked into the library. I mean, I know that's silly, you know, with everything that's going on, but I think the Lord was just trying to show me something. You're under favour. I don't believe that I will never get wet again. You know, the Lord, I know he likes to have a bit of a laugh, so probably I'll get caught out at one time and get soaked. He said, I don't have presumption, lad. Hallelujah. I mean, that's a humorous, silly things, but, you know, we've got to have favour with our employers, favour with our customers, favour with our teachers, favour with our lecturers, favour when we go to get new jobs, favour with the council when we're applying for things or whatever. You know, favour in everything. Favour in provision for us. Hallelujah. It's a great time to have favour. And we had a long prophetic word from Isaiah 49, which if I did get into, we'd definitely not get into Nehemiah chapter 4. So we'll have to leave that one. Hallelujah. But it was good. That was Thursday night. So that was pretty good. Oh, there was some bad news on Thursday. Mike told me about this building that we've got, and he'd asked some people about planning permission, and they were pretty pessimistic, weren't they? You sort of... Doesn't look good, I think were your exact words. So that was Thursday. But, you know, God can overcome. Anyway, Friday, We went off to Hollybush on Friday night, and as a small team came. I think most of the team ended up ministering and praying for people as well, because there was so much happening and God was healing people, and people were on the floor, and people were saying that we've been waiting for this to come back to Hollybush. We've been praying for this to happen. So it was like walking in the grace and the favor of God. God just did something. I must admit, there was a bit of me that when I stood up at the front of that meeting, it was a bit of intimidation, because you think these people, a lot of them were older people. They've been there the full 40 years, you know, and they've heard a lot of people speak in 40 years. You think, they know how to sift the chaff from the wheat, you know. It better be a good one tonight. Hallelujah. Well, fortunately, the Lord took over, so it was. I didn't get in his way. Hallelujah. So we had this great evening of favor at Hollybush. Oh, a little bit more of a story, though. We went to look at the building again in the morning, took a slightly bigger group of people, sort of still viewing it. And the caretaker said to me, he said, well, I'll tell you what. Would you want to keep the keys for the weekend, sir? I are the keys to the building. Hallelujah. He said, because some of your congregation might like to take a look after your service. Yes. So if you want to, we'll form a posse after. Hallelujah. It'd be very important we all keep together, because it is a deserted building. I was going to ban children, but if you want to bring children, you're going to have to hold their hand, because it could potentially be dangerous. All right. So if they're under 10, they need to have their hand held. Sorry, but I don't want any children hurt. I've got to give them back tomorrow, but I still thought it was quite a cool getting them for the weekend. Hallelujah. Now, you're thinking, what's all this got to do with 1 Kings chapter 18? I might tell you in a minute. Saturday, I went over in the morning to join the worship weekend, and that, again, was just a time of favour. It was great to see the band working together so well, and these new songs sort of coming out. We did two new ones this morning, I don't know if you noticed. In fact, apart from that last song, they were all Kingdom Faith, weren't they? And only one was Kingdom Faith, not Yorkshire as well. So we're getting blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Not that we would only do our own songs, but... So that was great favour. Oh, and I saw Mike again, and Mike said, oh, about the planning permission. He said, it looks good. So... On Thursday it looked bad. On Friday it must have been when you saw the guy, it was good. I told you it's a day of acceleration. One day it went from it's not good, doesn't look like we could do it. Friday it's good. We've just got to prove that it's not in demand as offices, and since it's been empty for 7 years, I wouldn't say the demand was high. Hallelujah. Okay, so that was the week. How does this all relate into where I'm going? Well, I just wanted to tell you about the favour accelerating, because that's important that we've got that. But here in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah has been dealing with Ahab, and you've had the whole story of the fire burning up the sacrifice. We're not going there this morning, just this little bit at the end. Where should we go from? 41. Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. That's the voice of a prophet, because the sky is blue and it hasn't rained for 3 years. So he's standing there and he's saying, it's going to rain. In fact, I can hear heavy rain. Go and get something to eat and drink. And it says that Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. He'd spoke the word, but he knew that word wasn't coming to fruition unless he called on his God. And we've got the word, you know, that we've got plenty of words spoken over us as Kingdom Faith Scarborough. And I'm telling you today, that building is ours.
Yes.
But it means we've got to get down, and we've got to get our head between our knees, if we like. That's quite a difficult position. You might have to warm up, some of you. But we've got to be there crying out before God, because it's coming. All right, the sky might be blue. I tell you, from this position here, this is Mr. I'm in the world, human, it's totally impossible for us to have this building. For a start, we didn't have planning permission and we wouldn't get it on Thursday. Okay, we got that now, but, you know, but we haven't got the finances. There's no way we've got the finances. We haven't got the finances to run the building. And it's too big, you know? And all sorts of other reasons. It's impossible, really, you know? But over here, when you're standing on God, you say nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing at all is impossible with God. When the word of God is spoken with power. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's where I'm going to stand. And that's what Elijah knew. And so he hears the sound of heavy rain. He knows that this is happening, but he knows it's not going to happen unless he starts to make it happen in prayer. It's not that we make it happen, but it's kind of that God chooses to work through us. And he says, this is yours. This is my promise. You can have this. I've told you you'll be established in Scarborough. He said you'll be in the town centre. This is on the high street. You know, that's pretty much central. And you don't find buildings of 18,000 square feet on the high street with their own car park regularly. You know, that's a big blessing. Not only that, but it is a building that's not been used for 7 years, so you've got a chance of getting it. You know, if you went to go for Woolworths, that old building, that's prime retail. You know, it's not only is it incredibly expensive, but how would you ever prove that nobody wants to have Woolworths ever? You know, of course shops want it, and that's what you have to prove if you're going to change the use. They said something to Mike about, this was on the bad day. They said, well, normally we grant permission for churches to become offices, not offices to become churches. No, it's about time it went the other way then. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's something happening in this town. It's stirring, it's turning around. Amen. So we're going to speak the word, but when we speak and we declare the word, we know we've got to get down and we've got to pray. Now, I've often wondered about this speculation about this prayer position of his. You know, it says his head between his knees. And some people have speculated it's like a birth position because he's giving birth to prayer. And maybe that's true. But I sometimes wonder if it's simply that he doesn't want to look at the sky. Because he knows if he looks at the sky, it might begin to waver. There's certainty that there's a great rain coming. And I tell you, you could go down and look at this building and you think, oh my goodness. But I tell you, just get your head between your knees. Get your eyes on God. Hallelujah. Get your focus on him. It's time for us, church, to start looking for cloudless blue skies. It's time to look for the impossible and declare the possible, because that's the anointing upon the church. Yeah, and the church kind of forgot that a lot. And so the church has sort of drifted and wavered, and we don't see the miracles and the healings and the provision and the favor that have been seen at different times until now. Because I believe there's a house of heroes here. Amen. You know, and as I mentioned last week, I think it was last week, I certainly mentioned on Friday, these heroes aren't people in, you know, that look like heroes necessarily. They're just ordinary looking bods. You know, like us. You know, they're like the blind beggar by the side of the road. He didn't look like a hero, but he was the one that shouted. The woman with the bleeding, with the bleeding issue, she was the one rejected. She was the one who was told to live outside the camp. She was the one who was unclean. Actually, she was the hero. She was the one that knew if she pushed through all what the crowd said, all the people getting in her way, she was the one that was going to get an answer, that was going to see Jesus move. We've got to be those heroes. This is the house of heroes. Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, the house of heroes. God speaks it over you. You might be thinking, I don't feel like a hero. Tough, God says you are. And I tell you why you're a hero, because you've got the hero living inside you. All right, you've got Jesus inside you. And if he's a hero, then you're a hero. Amen. And I tell you what, it's not an if. He is a hero. He is the ultimate hero. All right, so here we are still in Elijah. Or I'm still in Elijah's new book of the Bible, still in Kings. Oh dear, look at the time. Hallelujah. He put his face between his knees. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servant, and he went up and looked. Why did he tell his servant to go? Because I don't think he wanted to look. He had a pretty good idea of what it looked out at sea. It was lovely and sunny and good for a swim, but not good for the sound of heavy rain. It was kind of a bit daunting, so he thought, I'll send my servant. And his servant comes back and says he's nothing there. So Elijah gets his head even more between his knees, and he's saying, God, you've told me there's going to be rain. You've got to do something. All right. This says later on in the New Testament, the righteous prayers or the effective prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. So Elijah's prayers were being powerful and effective. And you've been made righteous in Christ. You've been put right with God in Jesus. So your prayers are powerful and effective. Doesn't matter what you feel like, they're powerful and effective. And that's so encouraging, isn't it? God says to you, your prayers are powerful and effective. Hallelujah. And we think, oh, I don't know if I can be bothered to pray. That's the kids in the room. Hallelujah. We need a new building. it's to do with the hearing aid loop, and it gets into our electrics and comes out our speakers, so it's a bit of a pain. The hearing aid loop doesn't even work in this room, as far as I know. Anyway, they're obviously having a nice time. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. I've done all this bit. Go and look to the sea. He looked and looked. Seven times Elijah said, go back. You know, and we've got to be these people that it doesn't matter what it looks like. When we're running with something from God, we're just going to keep going and going and going and going and going. Do we just go seven times? No, I think we can do a 70 times seven, like forgiveness. We can do a 70 times 70 times 70 times until we see what God has said comes out. Amen. I mean, there's principalities and powers in the spirit world that are opposing us, but our prayers are powerful and effective. But we do have to be praying. We need those threes and those twos in each one another's houses. We can't, it should be impossible for the leadership to be able to keep track of who's praying and what's going on, because we're just gathering. Oh, you got an hour? Yeah, I've got an hour. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray the promises that God has spoken to us. Maybe you go through the prophetic word. Maybe you go through the mandate. Maybe you just say, Lord, we thank you for this building and we command it right now to come into our hands. Hallelujah. And we don't just want, you know, it to struggle to get it. We, you know, we want this, we'll pay a bit for it, I think. But we want it, we want it at a ridiculous price. And I think on my heart is that we get to lease it for a while before we buy it. You know, if we buy the top bit, Mike reckoned it was worth about $500,000. Okay? But if we buy the whole building, about $1.5 million, $2 million, something like that, you know, then we can be the landlords of Argos and the other shops and do what we like downstairs as well. And that would be kind of good, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. It's impossible. Yes. Then we'll know it's God. I think the Comet building, the top floor, was possible, not impossible. And that's why God let me see it, let me be attracted to it, and then said, now I'm going to double your vision. Have the whole building. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I think we could just about do that. Yep, I can see that working. And then God says, actually, let's double it again. He can stop now, though. Hallelujah. It's exciting, isn't it? Okay. So, eventually, the seventh time, the servant reported back, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. Now, how many people know that when it rains in Scarborough, it's not from one small cloud? Okay, and Elijah said he heard the sound of great rain, and there's one tiny cloud the size of a man's fist rising from the sea. We've heard this story so much we've forgotten this is not a good sign. This is a Mediterranean little wisp. This is the kind of weather they get in Spain and why we hate them. No, sorry, sorry. I believe the rain in Spain stays mainly on the plain, actually. Anyway, this cloud, as small as a man's hand, is rising from the sea. So Elijah says, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. This man is still operating by faith, but he's seen enough that God is going to move, that this is the time. You know, the Welsh revival... you probably heard of the Welsh Revival. If you haven't, it was something that touched Wales and emptied pubs and changed the entire nation of Wales from the little bunch. But it all started with, what's his name? Forgotten. What? Sorry? Ivan Evans, something like that. Ivan Roberts. Something Welshish. Ian Roberts. Evan Roberts, we got there. Hallelujah. I really should take notes. Anyway, Evan Roberts... Yeah, and what I do remember, though, is that he asked his pastor or his leader, I think it was a Methodist chapel or something like that, but he asked his leader if he could speak to the group, and because he felt he had a word from God. And the leader said to him, okay, what you can do is you can say at the end of the meeting, or anybody that wants to stay behind to hear this young guy bring a word, you can stay. And 17 people stayed, and 17 people got born again. And yeah, that was enough for whatever his name was, Mr. Roberts. That was enough. From that, he went around saying, a revival has begun that's going to take Wales. It was only 17 people. It wasn't that dramatic, but it was a cloud. And I tell you what, people, in the items of this building, but also in your personal life, look for the blue skies, look for the impossible, and declare with God this is possible, and then look for the cloud. And I tell you what, there's your cloud. Yes. Amen? There's your cloud. Yes. All right? But don't forget to get your head between your knees. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 4. Can you believe it? We're there. Just about out of time, but we're there. Okay. What happens in chapter 4 that means God has kept it till now, has literally kept me from preaching since last July when we went through it, and keeps sort of stopping me, and then lets me go today. I tell you what it is, because this chapter is all about how they began to build. Okay? It's all about the building. In chapter 3, they are building. They're building the gates. But for us, the Lord showed us how the building of the gates was a kind of spiritual building up of the people and of putting certain things in place. All the meanings of those gates have got significant meanings for who we are and what we're doing and everything else. Okay? And we've even, in one case, appointed Brian and Shona as the sheep gate directors. So key and so important. Did God say that was? But that's because if you look at the passage in Nehemiah chapter 3, it starts with a sheep gate and ends with the sheep gate. So the sheep gate actually encompasses all the rest, because it's all about people coming into the kingdom and getting saved and becoming part of the church and dying on the altar, as we said before. Okay? So then when you get to Nehemiah chapter 4, it's a little bit more now about the physical building. And what I think God is saying is alongside your spiritual rebuilding that you've been doing with the people and are continuing to do with the people, obviously, is now I'm releasing you to physically build. In other words, I'm physically giving you a building. Okay? Now, people will argue endlessly about whether it's good to have a building or it's bad to have a building, and there are advantages and disadvantages of both. But what I will say is this. Here in Scarborough, where God has caused us to be a blessing to our community and make a difference in this town, we can't do what we need to do to help this town, to be part of this town, without a building. We are a buildings-based culture, and that building will give us a presence here in Scarborough. It will give us a place where people can say, oh, that's where Kingdom Faith Yorkshire is. They know where we are. Not this obscure group that meet in the library, but have another place out. Where is it? What? Thwergelsville? Thwing! Hallelujah. You know, we need that position. Also, it needs to be much bigger. You look at our Strong Tower conferences, they're full. They're absolutely full. And God wants to multiply the number of people that come in so that we're able to share what God is doing with us, because what God is doing with us is good, and he wants lots of people to have what's happening here. We're not superior, we're not better, we're just doing what God's told us to do, and we've got to share it, you know? We don't want to keep all this to ourselves. We want to give it away to as many people as possible. So we need a bigger place. Amen? And that's what God is doing. But as soon as you start doing things in the kingdom like this, the enemy doesn't like it. And we touched on it a little bit last week, because they were already there before the gates, of course. But now they're getting a bit more worried, or the enemy's getting a bit more worried. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, this is Nehemiah 4 verse 1. Oh. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and greatly incensed. Okay? Well, I quite like the idea that the enemy's angry and greatly incensed, don't you? You know, you get these principalities and powers in an area. Do you remember back at Lamplugh, before, if you were there in those days, before we came down, and certainly after we'd come down even, we spent quite a bit of time binding the work of the enemy and coming against the powers of darkness in the area, which is why there's been this release of favor. But there's still more ground to take in that. There's still other things out there. And you see, when we get together and we pray, in our small groups and our big groups and as a whole church, God will reveal these things to us. You know, it's not just in our homes either. Maybe you'll go and walk around the building. Now, if you do, don't look stupid. Don't get people worried that we've got this funny bunch coming in. Do it surreptitiously. Just walk round it, you know? Maybe by the seventh time they'll begin to wonder, but you know. Maybe you'll walk round the entire city of Scarborough. Maybe you'll walk some of the streets and blocks of Scarborough. Maybe you'll walk Castle Ward, which is the sort of area of housing that's just nearby. Castle Ward needs Jesus, you know? And it'll be great to have an actual neighbourhood all right on our doorstep that we can love and care for and do things in and make a difference there. You know, because our vision is to the world, it's to the nation, it's to Yorkshire, it's to Scarborough, and God keeps bringing it home so that he says, well, where it really counts is do you love the people around you? You know, because then it can go back out. And I haven't got anything from God about what we'll do. I'm just saying that's what's likely to happen. It might take a while for it to happen. It probably will. You know, there's always more need than you can meet. It's very easy for churches to get themselves tied in knots because they see things that are not happening that should be happening. But you can't do everything. You've got to do what the Lord gives you, or you can squash and kill what would have been good. You know, so we have to be wise, and sometimes the decisions are hard. You can't help everybody yet. Anyway, became greatly incensed, and he ridiculed the Jews in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria. He said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring stones back to life from the heaps of rubble, burned as they are? And Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they're building, even if a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their walls of stones. And what do? The people, when they hear of these insults, when they're on the end of this intimidation, whether it's from, and you know, our intimidation might be from people, or it might be direct from the enemy. It might be what from people say or do or look like, or it might be straight from the enemy. Actually, even when it is people, it's still the enemy using people. They're not our enemies. We're not against flesh and blood. But the enemy can use people, or it might come direct. You might, there might be something happened that's not good. You might get ill. You might have a problem with finances or something like that, and the enemy will come in and start going, it's all rubbish. But that's what he talks like. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over to plunder in a land of captivity. I mean, they don't mess about here. They say, God, come and sort this. And, you know, we need a bit of God, come and sort this. When people come against the people of God, it's like, God, come and sort this. And the ultimate way to get it sorted is if it's people coming against you is that they come to a revelation of how marvelous Jesus is and they get saved and you become brothers. That's the best way. But if that person is so hard-hearted that that can't happen, the Lord can remove them. The Lord can remove people. It's a scary thing to be in opposition to what God is wanting to do. But I think mostly at the moment, actually, our opposition is not going to be from people. It's going to be direct from the enemy. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. For the people worked with all their heart. There it is again. Worked, worked, worked. Some of you are retired. That's so you can work. Some of you are at work. That's so you can earn money, so you can work. It is. It's so that you can... Yeah, the Lord is turning our mindsets on our heads, you know, and we can have a career. We can go in full guns. That's great. And maybe that's a call on your life. But also what we're earning is to enable the call of God in all areas, but particularly in how we reach out together and what we do together. You know? We've got a call in our hands. And it's a good call. You know? You open your house and begin to gather and you'll have a church meeting there. And praise God, go for it. You know? I hope you'll stay part of what we're doing, but I believe that's the right thing. But actually, you know, even if you went off and planted a congregation of 50 people, well, praise God, that's 50 people saved. You know, I don't think it's the right thing to do usually unless God's sending you, but I just want to see the church grow. You know, if Scarborough Christian Fellowship gets blessed this week with 50 new people coming and enjoying the church, we'll be rejoicing. You know, if Ebenezer Baptist this week gets 5 more people come to join the work and be part of the crew, we'll be rejoicing. You know, if St. Mary's up on the hill there has got new people coming in, and they have, bless them. Awesome. You know, we'll just be happy. It's the kingdom that's being built, not the church. But God is building his church, but we'll see the kingdom extended. I mean, God does want to build this church, and he does want to add lots of people to it. But I don't want to drag them out, the others. I want to see new people saved. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, we'll see more people saved than added here. You know, my desire is we see so many saved, and they don't all come here. They go to other churches as well, so that we can see all the churches grow, not just this one. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because sometimes our style's not what people can live with. You know? We're doing what God's called us to do, and that's what we'll keep doing. But sometimes some people just can't get their head around it, and they need to be somewhere else for a while, and that's fine. Hallelujah. Right. I'm going to come to an end in a minute, so I haven't got very far into Nehemiah chapter 4. And my main word this morning is from Nehemiah chapter 6. So it appears that I'm not very good at getting through this book. But there is a key word this morning, really, and that's find the blue skies, find the impossible, and declare it possible. That's the real key. And yes, there's going to be opposition. There is opposition. But we just got to work at it with all our hearts. I mean, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom, they get even more upset. It says because they see the gates being closed. But then in can't read the verse number, I'd need glasses, but in a verse somewhere in here, it says, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard. I think it's verse 9, yeah it is. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Day and night they worked. Day and night they worked. What's the work? To believe God. How do you believe God? You act upon his word. How do you act upon his word? You pray. Everything we do comes out of prayer. If you do anything out of prayer, it's not going to be fruitful in the way that God wants it to be. God does bless. He's amazing. It's amazing grace. But if you want to really see fruitfulness, it comes out of prayer. But prayer's not a duty. Prayer's not a drudge. Prayer is powerful and effective. Prayer changes things. Prayer will bring this building into our hands. Prayer placed these keys into our hands, but now it's time to see the building in our hands. Now it's time to hear those walls rocking to the sound of praise. Amen. Apparently in the past it's been a bowling arena, it's a bowling thingy, bowling galley, something, that's it, that's the word, yeah. See, this is even preaching, it's a team effort. Whether it's bowling alley or Ewan Roberts or whatever his name was, it's a team effort. It was a bowling alley, it's been a strip club. And it's been the DHSS, which probably wasn't a great centre of joy. It's still got all the signing on booths. The guy that lives in the shop underneath, that's the caretaker, he said to me, oh, it's a shame you're not Catholics, you could have used them for confessionals. We did consider Freedom in Christ appointments, but you know. Hallelujah. Our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we will kill them and put an end to the work. And meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. There's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. So the people who are even with them were speaking discouragement. Now let's put a guard on our lips. All right, let's believe the Lord. I've already told you it's impossible, so we don't need anybody else to say we'll never do it or we can't get that done. It's got to be God, you know? And we all know, looking at our bank balances, you know, it's impossible to have this massive collection next month, but it will be by the grace of God. We're having to pray in the money to give because we haven't got it. So we just have to pray it in so we can give it. Amen? So, where was I? So that you get this, we've got to avoid discouraging one another. There's so much rubble in the way. There is. There's loads of rubble. There's things to get out of the way, like planning permission. Oh, that's done. But everything else, you know, there's other things that have got to get out of the way. You know, we need great favour with the Manchester firm of solicitors that own the building. You know, we need great favour in other areas. We want to ensure that the change of use is changed to a church use because the rates are $27,000 a year. All right, so we needed a little while ago. About a week ago, I was thinking, so we need £27,000 a year just for the rates. And since then, I've been told that if you get a change of use and it's a church use, the council then zero rates it. So the rates would be zero. Hallelujah. So that's £27,000 that's already come into the pot, effectively, in a week. Hey, there's another cloud. I think great rain is already on the way. But it also says that our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there amongst them and we'll kill them and put an end to all the work. The enemy is out to, the enemy is seeking to kill and destroy and break down. And you'll find that, you know, so if you find yourself in a position where you're getting negative towards one another, even if the things that have been done aren't right or aren't good, guard your heart. All right, because the Lord tries to get in with negative thoughts against one another, because negative thoughts against one another kills and destroys relationships. And one way that the enemy would seek to stop us from getting this building, because he doesn't want us to get this building, because he knows how fruitful it will be out of what's happening, he will try and get in and destroy relationships. Okay, and maybe someone does hurt you, maybe someone does say something that's hurtful, but we've got to rise up. We're a house of heroes. Not a house of the hurt. We're a house of heroes. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, even the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, whenever you turn, they will attack you. So I'm imagining what the Lord is preparing us for is even other Christians are going to say, you can't get that. That's impossible. Yes, it is. Impossible just means, yes, it's God that's going to do it. Amen? But we're going to have to work. You know, we've got to put our hands in our pockets too and draw out our wallets as well. But, you know, it's God that's going to provide. But we've got to be praying. We've got to be looking for the crowd. We've got to be looking for the cloud. We'll look for the crowd as well. The crowd's coming. We've got to look for the cloud. We've got to have our head between our knees. We need the leadership of this church, the leadership that we laid out, the people, you know, on that little leadership chart. And me and Kate, we need you with your head between your knees praying for us, for the enemy would come to seek to kill and destroy, to stop the work. And it only that's why we need you. And we can't command it. We can't lead every, you know, hundreds of prayer meetings every week. It's us getting there in the secret place, because in the secret place is where you get the victory. Amen? In the secret place is where you grow. How do you grow in God? It's when something happens in your life and you don't go to somebody else, but you take it to the Lord and you get the Lord to deal with it and you find the answer in the Word. Then you will grow and mature. Yes. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not saying we never help one another and we never go to one another, but hear my heart. You know, for so long the church has forgotten this principle. I go and see someone. Well, but first you go and see Jesus. I used to be known as a pastor in Horsham, that often when people would ask to see me about something, I'd say, have you seen Jesus about it yet? Have you prayed about that yet? And if they said no, I said, then I won't see you. Because there's no point. I'm not more important than Jesus. I don't have the answers. You need to get it from him. And, you know, if you're doing that, then, yeah, maybe a pastor can come alongside and help you. But ultimately, if you only go to people, you'll be dependent on people and you'll never be free. Amen? It's Jesus who's the answer. It's Jesus who has the answer. So what happened? Therefore, it says that Nehemiah, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places. You know, some of us have got to get down to the lowest places. Well, basically, that's everybody here, really, because we're at the beginning of this. You know? We're here at the beginning of what God is doing. That's quite exciting. You know, when we look back and think, do you remember when we met in the library? We'll be that group that met in the library. And we can have a certain amount of satisfaction and maybe just a tinge of little bit pride. Because being at the beginning means you have to be stationed at the lowest points. It means you've got to do the dungate jobs. There's 18,000 square feet of carpet to be cleaned. That's a lot of carpet. There's walls to be painted and all sorts of other stuff to happen. You know, we're going to work. But we were there at the beginning. God chose us to be there at the beginning. And I like that. I'm really happy I'm one of them. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, and this is where I'm finishing this morning, in case you're wondering, because I could go on to about 3 o'clock with this lot. Said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. We'll look at fear a bit more next week, I think. All right, don't be afraid of them, but remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And here's the key. And fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. How are we going to fight? We're going to fight with the sword of the Spirit. We're going to fight with the Word and the Holy Spirit in prayer. It's the only way. We're not going to go out and beat a few people up. We're going to fight in the Spirit. But these builders, these workers, that's why they had, we'll go into it next time, but they had a sword in one hand and their building tools in the other. I'm not literally, or it would have been impossible to do anything. It's metaphorical, but they were there with the sword ready to fight at any moment, even while they were doing their ordinary work of building. And even when we're out doing our ordinary stuff, at a moment's notice, the Lord could call us. All right? I am going to mention one more bit that's there in Nehemiah 4, because we'll get it in there now. It's the bit, just a little bit on from where we were looking at, where it says, when you hear the trumpet, come running. You know, and there'll be times when we hear the trumpet and we'll say, come on, we need to gather together because there's something happening here. And sometimes you'll blow the trumpet and you might just gather a few of your friends around. You know, it might be just three or four of you. Come on, I've got this in the Spirit. I've heard in the Spirit that this is happening. Let's get together and pray about this. All right? And sometimes people think that all the praying happens at Lamplugh. There needs to be more prayer happening in Scarborough. But we're not. It's not that... it's most of the organized things happening up at Lamplugh because that's where we've got a place to do it. But the informal stuff is just as important. Yeah? Hallelujah. So when you hear the trumpet, then come. But even if you don't hear the trumpet blowing, get with God in the secret place. All right? Get with God in the... History is made in the secret place. Not in the showing off. Not in the dramatic calling out. Not even in the waving the keys round. History for Kingdom Faith Yorkshire is made with each individual having a one-to-one with God in the secret place. You know, God encounters, they're essential, they're great, they're important. 9 o'clock prayer meetings, yeah, I love them because it's just the believers getting together to pray. Even us praying together in our homes, absolutely vital, it's got to be happening. But if this church is really going to walk into the fulfillment of the prophetic word, the mandate, the vision, even just this word that this building belongs to us, it will be one in the secret place. Of every individual just getting with God and making history. Amen? Amen. Amen. So is this a house of heroes?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Are we going to walk the walk?
Yes.
And talk the talk?
Yes.
Does that make sense? I don't know. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.